Hello, everyone. My name is Frank Napolitani. I'm the Chief Business Development and Marketing Officer at Sword & Kissel in New York. And today I'm joined by John Brosey, a partner in our tax group. John, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Frank, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So today we're going to be discussing the tax aspects of President Biden's American Jobs and the American Families Plan. And to put that into context, the Jobs Plan is $2.25 trillion in spending concentrated over the next 8 years, with an additional $400 billion in tax credit, while the Families Plan is about $1.8 trillion in total costs. The proposed Jobs Plan, which was announced back in March, and the Families Plan, which is announced last week, they're going to discuss a number of areas, touch on a number of areas that affect both individuals and corporations. So together, the Biden administration refers to these plans as Build Back Better agenda. John, let's discuss how these affect U.S. corporations first.
Sure. Frank, that sounds like a lot of spending, and that spending is going to have to be offset somewhere. And in the first place is for Congress to look to corporations, if Biden can convince Congress to pass this. Corporations would see their tax rate go up from the current 21% to 28%. But I will note that prior to the Trump administration, for a long time, corporate tax rates have been at 35%. So 28% is still lower than that, but still a 7 percentage point increase from the Trump era. In addition, there's a proposal for a 15% minimum tax for large corporations, which is corporations with a pre-tax book income of over 100 million. And on the spending side, there will be a 10% tax credit for companies that create jobs in the United States, and that is intended to incentivize U.S. manufacturing.
Understood. Why don't we discuss international business taxes?
Sure. On the international side, as everyone probably knows, a significant number of U.S. corporations, at least headquartered in the U.S., are multinational, and they conduct operations all around the world. During the Trump administration, there was a new tax enacted that was intended to be something of a global minimum tax. And the acronym is called GILTI. This is a kind of an inside joke amongst tax lawyers, frankly. But it's called GILTI. The GILTI tax applies to certain income derived by a U.S. person who is a 10% shareholder of a controlled foreign corporation. And the proposal is to raise that GILTI tax from 10.5% to 21%, so to double that tax. Now, this fits in pretty nicely with the global minimum tax that's currently being pushed by the OECD among its member nations. The goal of the OECD is to reach an agreement on that by sometime over the summer. But somewhat ironically, this higher GILTI tax could threaten agreement on that, because some of those nations are lower tax, say Ireland has a 12.5% tax, and they would not want to see that minimum set at 21%. Which is what Biden's proposing for this GILTI, and therefore what the U.S. would probably like to see as the OECD standard. But you could see something, these other countries want something below that. So you probably see something somewhere between, 12 and 21% or something like that, if they can come to agreement. And it'll be interesting to see if they can or not. In addition, on the international front, there's a 10% penalty surtax being proposed on the profits for manufactured goods of U.S. companies that move production operations overseas and sell products back on American soil. That's a penalty for them. In addition, a clawback provision to force companies to return public investments and tax benefits when sending jobs overseas. And in addition, they're going to try to tighten the corporate inversion rules to make it more difficult for U.S. corporations to merge or acquire businesses overseas and effectively move their residents overseas to benefit from certain foreign tax credits and other things. So you notice a common theme here, higher costs for doing business outside of the United States and carrots and sticks for trying to move businesses and jobs back on shore. At least that's the idea.
Understood. So why don't we discuss the switch gears and discuss the Families Plan. How do you anticipate individuals be affected?
Yeah, so The proposal is for the top marginal rate to increase back to 39.6% for taxpayers with a taxable income, you know, greater than 400,000. So it was at 39.6 during most of the Obama administration, and then it was lowered again during Trump, but they're going to try to get that back up for what they consider to be high tax or high income taxpayers. In addition, and this is a big one, they're proposing to eliminate the preferential tax rate for long-term capital gains and qualified dividends for taxpayers with taxable income of $1 million or greater. So for those high tax individuals or those high income individuals, coupled with the 3.8% tax on net investment income, also passed during the Obama administration, you could be looking at a top rate of 43.4% on investment income for those high income taxpayers. That's significant. That's not even counting state and in some cases local taxes as well. So pretty high taxes there.
Why don't we talk about estate taxes?
Yeah, so estate taxes would be proposed to eliminate the stepped up basis rule that allows people to pass capital gains to their heirs without tax upon death for gains in excess of $1 million, and that's $2.5 million per couple. So for the people with large estates, you know, that's significant, because the idea of the estate tax was that, you know, your gains were basically taxed to your estate, you know, as part of the estate tax, either excluded, you know, there's a pretty high exclusion right now, but anything over that was taxed and went through your estate. And then it went through so that your heirs now had that, had those assets at, with a basis equal to their fair market value, so that if they turned around and sold them, they would have no further gain. If this passes, that other than a very low, a very low limit here, that won't be the case. So they'll not only pass through the estate with tax, but your heirs will be taxed on effectively that same gain. So that's a tremendous proposed change, in my view.
Understood. How about real estate? Will that be affected?
Yeah, so a lot of real estate transactions happen in the so-called like-kind exchange area, where real estate investors can basically flip into other real estate and continue to defer unrealized gain. So that's going to be eliminated for gains in excess of 500,000. So for the big real estate players or big real estate investors, it'll effectively be eliminated. It'll stay in place for some of the maybe smaller deals. But effectively, if this passes, it'll go away.
Understood. And from the way that you're reading the new plan, how does the IRS plan on ensuring compliance?
Yeah, so one thing is that the Biden administration proposes to give an extra $80 billion to the IRS, as well as more authority over the next 10 years. And they want to crack down on tax evasion by high earners and large corporations. The additional money and enforcement power will accompany, you know, new disclosure requirements, so more paperwork for everyone. For businesses, for people who own businesses that are not organized as corporations, this would be like many law firms and real estate partnerships, and for other high earners who could be hiding money from the government. So if this is successful, individuals with taxable income of greater than $400,000 could expect a much higher likelihood of audit.
Right.
The claim is that this effort could raise as much as $700 billion in additional taxes over the next 10 years. So it'll be interesting to see where all this comes out, because again, taxpayers could face, you know, increased paperwork and audit risk.
Unbelievable. So is there anything that, you know, taxpayers can do to deal with these new taxes?
You're very little. Unfortunately, at least right now, you know, maybe some things will develop as things go on. But if all these become law, I think it could be a very difficult tax environment to navigate. I think for investors, the name of the game will probably be deferral, possibly favoring longer term buy and hold investment strategies. I also wouldn't be surprised to see high net worth people increasingly looking to insurance products to invest in to defer their taxes, because you know deferral may be one of the only games left in town. Even dying as a tax strategy won't be as effective because of this proposed basis step up for heirs. You also will probably see, you may see people increasingly migrate business and residents to low or no tax states. I mean, we're already seeing that. I can see that increasing because that's one of the maybe few things, you know, still within people's control where they could lower their tax bill by moving their business. And the pandemic, the recent pandemic has shown that a lot of people can be anywhere and operate their businesses. They don't necessarily need to be in those high tax jurisdictions. But I think ultimately, corporations and high net worth individuals are probably just going to have to get used to the fact that they're going to be operating in some sort of higher tax world, at least for this foreseeable future.
Understood. Well, John, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Frank.
My pleasure. And thank you everyone for joining us as well. And please be on the lookout for our next episode of our conversation series from Seward and Kissel. Thank you, everyone.
Take care.